This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. There is no more of a divisive issue in politics than abortion. There is little middle ground in the pro-life versus pro-choice debate. And now Governor Rick Perry is adding the Roe v. Wade issue in a special session of the Texas legislature. In a statement, Perry is quoted, "The horrors of the national late-term abortion industry are continuing to come to light, one atrocity at a time. Sadly, some of those same atrocities happen in our own state. In Texas, we value all life, and we've worked to cultivate a culture that supports the birth of every child." Perry said, "We have an obligation to protect unborn children and to hold those who peddle these abortions to standards that would minimize the death, disease, and pain they cause." Perry would like to see laws that ban abortions after 20 weeks of pregnancy, require abortion facilities to be certified as ambulatory surgical centers. He also wants a requirement that all doctors who perform abortions have admitting privileges at a hospital within 30 miles of their clinic. He also wants to create regulations for the use of abortion-inducing drugs. We invite you to join our conversation about these proposed laws that are going to be discussed in Austin very soon. Give us a call at 614-8980. You could also email questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. Go to the comments section on our website at tpr.org and send us a tweet on Twitter. Our guest this half hour, we have Terry Burke, Executive Director of the ACLU of Texas, also Matt Shima, Executive Director of the San Antonio Coalition for Life. And also we have, just for a few minutes of time, we've got Senator Leticia Vandeput here on the line, a San Antonio Democrat. And welcome to The Source, Senator.
Good afternoon. How are you?
We're doing great. I want to congratulate you on being named to the list of the best legislators by Texas Monthly. That list just came out today.
Yes, thank you very much. I have a great team here in Austin.
So let me ask you first, Senator Vandeput, what is your reaction to having Governor Perry adding these abortion issues to the call?
The types of decisions that women make are very, very personal. And I am extremely concerned that women and doctors, not politicians, ought to be making these personal medical decisions. The bills that have filed really take away a woman's ability to make these extremely personal and medical decisions and kind of hand it over to politicians. I think that women seeking these abortions really do face complicated pregnancies at times, and they must have their medical options. The other concern that I have is federal courts have struck down the 20-week abortion ban law in both Idaho and Arizona, and it's being challenged in the other states. So everything that we do here, our Board of Congress of Obstetrics and Gynecologists are strongly opposed to all of these sets of bills. It really is medical decisions that are going to be taken away for women.
I know that you are a certified pharmacist. You work as a pharmacist when you're not in Austin. What is your take on the making the morning after pills? Some call them abortion pills. Now they're becoming more freely available.
Well, I think that these pills, they call them the morning after pill, have been used for a long, long periods of time in, for example, in Europe and other parts of the world. They are available here, and those are the types of medications that are used to prevent a pregnancy. And, of course, that is what the federal dialogue is about, certainly the Obama administration. But right now, I'm so focused on what the governor has put on the call here in Texas, because I think that that is just a real threat to women when they have to make these very, very personal medical decisions.
So we just wrapped up the regular legislative session. And these were items that were part of bills that had gone through the session but did not become law. What happened in that session, and so why do we think they could become law in this special session?
I really believe that they're using different sets of rules, at least in the Senate. In the Senate during the regular session, it is two-thirds of the senators have to agree on something to bring it to debate on the floor. For special sessions, those rules do not exist. So if you can liken it to, okay, San Antonio played the NBA and they played four quarters every single game. Well, what's happening now in the special session, now that you would say the Spurs are in the playoffs, they have different set of rules. So you can't. That's what the difficulty is. My problem with a lot of these bills is that, particularly the one, the issue of 20 weeks and the issue of fetal pain, is that it's very controversial. The available science fails to support any conclusions. So what we're doing is just making these decisions not based on science at all, but based on trying to deter women from making very, very personal medical decisions.
All right, Senator Vandepute, thank you so much for joining us, and congratulations again on being named as one of the best legislators in Texas by Texas Monthly Magazine.
Well, thank you. It's nice to be recognized as the top 10.
All right, so let's continue our conversation, and our other guests include Matt Shima. He's the executive director of the San Antonio Coalition for Life. We also got Terry Burke on the line, executive director of ACLU of Texas. Well, Matt, let me get your reaction to Senator Vandepute. She obviously not in support of passing these proposals into law.
Sure. You know, it's just interesting some of the things that she said. She said the decisions are personal, that women and doctors should be involved and not politicians. Yet she praises Obama, for our President Obama, for bringing about these issues on the national level. And so, you know, what is our government designed to do? It's designed to create legislation to protect us. Why do we have stoplights? Why do we have, seatbelts? It's to protect us. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to do what is best for Texas women. That's what we're trying to decide here. And so it takes this special session to make those decisions and to bring about on both sides of the issue, you know, what is the truth? And also another thing that she brought up was the controversial science, that this 20 weeks fetal pain bill is not based on science. And you know, the truth about it is it's completely based on science. If you've ever seen a live sonogram of an unborn infant at 20 weeks and you see the instrument going in, you can see it pulling away because it's feeling the pain. You know, it's completely supported by science, as well as the RU486 information is also based completely on science and what happens there. So, you know, it's just interesting that a little bit of that is contrary to what she said beforehand.
And do you think that, real quickly now, what are the chances of this becoming law in the special session?
You know, I think Texas is very pro-life, and Texas loves women, and the legislators want what's best for the women. And so I think that's a very good chance of this happening. We're looking forward to it because it makes sense. You know, it makes sense because it's what's best for women, and it's just some great things that I think that are going to be happening here in the next few weeks.
Okay, we've got to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to bring Terry Burke into the conversation. See, she is the executive director of the Texas ACLU. Also, we want to bring you, the listener, into the conversation. Give us a call if you've got questions or comments. The number is 614-8980. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. We'll be back in about 1 minute. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about a battery of new proposed abortion laws that Governor Rick Perry has added to the workload for the Texas legislature in their special session. We've heard earlier from Senator Vandepute. Also, we've got Matt Shima, executive director of the Texans Coalition, San Antonio Coalition for Life. Let's bring in Terry Burke. She's the executive director of the ACLU of Texas. Terry, are you there?
I am.
All right, great, fantastic.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, thanks for joining us. Let me get your reaction to what Governor Perry has added to the call in regards to abortion.
Well, I think it was totally unnecessary. The legislature did not take up these bills during the regular session because the legislators know that Texans are not overwhelmingly anti-abortion. In fact, we have polling that shows quite the opposite. And the legislature dealt with the really important issues for Texans. It dealt with water and the budget. and other issues that voters have said are really at the top of their list. This issue is not at the top of anyone's list.
So one of the issues...
So we're disappointed that he's brought this back.
Okay. One of the issues, the top one, is this so-called fetal pain bill, abortion, a ban on abortion after 20 weeks of pregnancy. Can you kind of talk about that? How big of a problem is it that we have abortions 20 weeks after pregnancy, and what's the legal standing for that law, possible law?
Well, first of all, let me be clear, David, I'm not an attorney, but I work with a lot of them, so... But what I will say is that this is, again, really an unnecessary bill, and it is it's denying women their basic health care. Women who need abortions at that stage of their pregnancies are making very difficult personal decisions, and there's no place for the legislature in this decision. I can't imagine knowing the circumstances that these women have to face making such a decision. So it's not needed, and the science I think Matt's wrong. The science fails to support this, and it's really an insensitive approach to women.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and get to the phone calls because the phones are very active. Claire is on the line, and Claire, welcome to The Source.
Hello, thank you.
Hi, Claire, go ahead.
Well, I was wondering, regarding the issue of the special needs or the pro-rights, I am totally pro-life myself, but I do have a special needs child that I chose to have. However, if you're in a mitigating circumstances financially, who's going to raise these children? It takes a lot of money for the special needs children. And I'm just wondering, with the current administration and the state not really helping normal children, who's going to help these children be raised or the residency care in the long term?
All right, Claire, thank you for that. So just interesting point that in the last legislative session, they did pass law. It hasn't become law yet, but they would ban people from having abortions for if their unborn child has any kind of genetic defect, and also ban people who can have an abortion for gender selection. But is that a victory for you guys, Matt?
Sure, yeah. It's a very, very difficult situation, that's children with special needs. But the important thing to realize for all those that are in crisis pregnancy is that there are resources to help. Our website, there's tons of resources here in San Antonio and in Texas. So there are a lot of very difficult situations that we may have never heard of, we've never personally been involved in. But the important thing is to realize that there is help, there's free help for anybody in those difficult situations.
All right, and so Terry Burke of ACLU, any reaction to that?
Well, first of all, I don't think any bill has passed. There was a bill introduced in the regular session, but it did not pass, to my knowledge. So that's number one. But number two, again, you just heard this woman talk about, and congratulations to her to be raising her child and taking such good care of her child. But it is a difficult choice to make. And it is one that, the legislature is not the place to make those decisions. She's a woman, I'm a woman, and I'll tell you what, when it comes to my health, I'm going to trust my doctor much more than I'm going to trust my legislator.
So, okay, Matt, do you know for certain if that bill passed or not about gender selection and about aborting unborn children because of genetic problems?
As far as I know, it has not.
Okay, I saw something yesterday that made me think it was, but maybe I'm mistaken. But I know it was a bill that was floated during the legislative session.
It was introduced.
Okay, all right. So let me go to the phones now, and Denise wants to join the conversation. Denise, welcome to The Source.
Thank you. My addition to this conversation is following along with the same line. As I was saying earlier, not only am I female, but I'm also a physician. I'm a gynecologist, and I find, I'm one of these people that have to counsel a lot of people, and I find that this is very frustrating that we can't counsel people as a physician to all their options, and this is taking women's rights away. For this gentleman to say that they know what's right for women, I don't think that is correct, and that's just unbelievable for me to sit here and listen to legislation taking us backwards instead of forward.
So let me ask you, Denise, as a physician, a gynecologist, you said you are? Is that correct?
Yes.
So these bills that would require abortion facilities to be certified as ambulatory surgical centers also require all doctors to perform abortions to have privileges at a hospital within 30 miles of their clinic. This, some people say, would make it much harder for women to find doctors who would be qualified to perform abortions. Is that your understanding?
Yes, and that is correct because most hospitals will not certify them as being – because what they want are physicians who are going to bring services to their hospital. They don't want physicians who are just doing a one-time thing. And a lot of these states that are having to do this, they're having to bring in physicians from outside of their own states to even provide these options. And there are not a lot of physicians who want to provide them.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Denise. I appreciate your phone call. So, Matt, Shima, let me ask you, of the Texas Right to Life Coalition, these bills seem like they're designed to make it restrictive, to make it harder for women to get abortions, but you're also saying that this is designed to make abortions safer. Is that right?
Right, and I agree with Dr. Denise there that it is difficult. You know, it is making things much more difficult. But all we're simply trying to do is make it safe for these women in these situations. You know, none of these four areas in this Senate Bill 5 is trying to shut down an abortion facility. All it is doing is trying to make it safe for these women, just like any other surgery of any other kind. You know, we want the doctors to be qualified. We want the facilities to be clean and qualified. We don't want, you know, another Gosnell to come in and for that to happen again. So it's just about making it safe for these women. Yeah, it's going to be difficult, and it might take a little more money, but at what cost? At the cost of saving a life? I think it's worth it.
Terry Burke, ex-executive director, Texas ACLU. Do you want to jump on that?
Yeah, I do. I mean, we already have plenty of regulations that address these issues. It is about shutting down abortions in this state. Within your listening area, David, west of San Antonio, there'll be no options for women in those areas extending out north and west of San Antonio. And you know, and again, about this issue is, number one, an abortion is not a surgical procedure. I'm not aware of any other outpatient procedure that requires a physician to have active admitting privileges in a hospital within a certain district, distance. You know, we're singling this out.
And as I understand it, if this law is passed, it will require 80% of the current facilities that provide abortions to have major upgrades, very costly upgrades, which could shut the doors of some of these facilities.
It will leave us with only, I believe it's 5 centers in the state that could perform an abortion, and they are all on I-35 and east of I-35. 35% of our population would have no access to these services.
Okay, back to the phones. Annette. Annette has been waiting patiently. Annette, welcome to The Source.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I truly believe, well, I will at the onset say that I am pro-choice. And as the years have gone by, I am 53 years old. As the years have gone by since the Roe v. Wade went into effect, I have found that it has gotten harder and harder for women, especially single women, women of who are minorities, to receive adequate care. I believe that anything that impacts a woman's life, including having a child or not having a child, is totally between herself and her physician. I don't like the fact that religion, and I know it hasn't come up in this conversation, however, I do believe that in Texas, bottom line, it does come back down to religion. And it's unfortunate because medical care should never be based on one man's religious view.
Okay, Annette, thank you so much for that phone call and those comments. Let me ask Matt about, is this a religious issue?
No, it's not. You know, it comes down to the science we all agree on. We all went to, you know, high school and college to you know, we learned about the science, and that's what it comes down to. You know, when does life begin? That's science-based. You know, how does the abortion procedure work? That's science-based. You know, the clean facility. All this is about science and what's best for these women and the psychology behind it and all that. So, you know, it's about science. It's not about religion. Sure, you can get – a lot of people are faith-driven in the pro-life movement.
Like yourself. You describe yourself as a prayer warrior for the San Antonio Coalition for Life.
Sure. Yeah. So our goal at the Coalition for Life is to pray for an end to abortion.
Okay. Let me ask Terry Burke of the Texas ACLU. I mean, this is a religious issue. Why is that a problem?
Well, I think that it's about somebody wanting to make a law because some people disagree with his, and it is his. All of these bills, with the exception, I think, of one, are sponsored by men. They're wanting to make laws because women disagree with them. And to my observation, it is rooted in the extreme religious right.
Okay, I'm going to try and squeeze in one last phone call from Joe. Joe, welcome to The Source.
How you doing, Dave? Listen, it's just a thing about where it didn't get any traction in the legislature because of parliamentary procedure. And now in the special session, the Republicans can bypass parliamentary procedure and just pass whatever bill they want to pass.
Okay.
No one seems to be talking about that.
All right, Joe, I'll bring that up. Thank you for your call. He says because it's a special session, Rick Perry can fast-track these bills, and that's why this is happening. Is that right, Matt?
No, I mean, he's bringing it up to be voted on and to be given out to those that are trying to do the legislation. So it's about the truth prevailing, and I think the truth will prevail at one point.
Matt Shima, thank you so much for joining us. He is with the San Antonio Coalition for Life. We also have Terry Burke, Executive Director of the Texas ACLU. This conversation continues online on our website at tpr.org. Thanks for being part of the conversation. Thanks to all the listeners and callers. We're going to be right back after the NPR news. We're going to talk about San Antonio's parks, why we're at the bottom of a national list, and if that can change. This is The Source on KSTX.